To John chapter number 12, John chapter number 12, and then when you get there, please put a finger or a marker or something of that effect there and go to Psalm 118. So I'm in John 12 and Psalm 118. It's Palm Sunday. It is a day when we stop and remember the week before the Lord rose from the dead. This is the beginning of that very last week. And the things that happened in that week are all very interesting. We're going to look at one of them today in Psalm 118. Interestingly, we're going to see that God had foreseen, he had already seen Palm Sunday over 1,000 years before it took place. Aren't you glad God's got things in control? Don't doubt that he does. He already knows the end and the beginning and everything in the middle. None of those are new to him. And he is gracious, and he'll carry us through if we'll let him. In John chapter 12, as you look at that, just look with me in verse 13. I want to show you one thing there verse 13 in John chapter 12. It says that the people cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's John 12, 13. That's what happened on Palm Sunday. But go back and look in Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Someone told me that this is the center chapter in the Bible. If you counted all the verses from both ends that you'd meet in Psalm 118. And that's interesting. In fact, verse 8, I think, is the center verse. But I want to show you something in verse number 20, and really verse 25 to start. We saw in John 12, 13, they said, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Look at Psalm 118 and verse 25. "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." So you see verse 25 and verse 26 in Psalm 118, those are the things the people were saying on Palm Sunday. They knew the Word of God. To me, that is bittersweet. Because on Sunday, they cry out, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And they even call Jesus the King of Israel. And then about 4 days later, they cry, "Crucify him." You say, how can you explain that? That one day everyone's excited and they're crying out, "Save us now, and blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And then a few days later they cry out, "Crucify him." Have you ever been caught up in the moment? I think the best example of that probably would be maybe an athletic event, or it could happen in certain kinds of church services. But in an athletic event where everyone's excited and you just get excited too because everyone else around you is excited and so you get involved and you're cheering and you would never, I don't think, you might, probably wouldn't, stand up in the middle of a game and be the only one cheering. People looking at you, "What's wrong with that guy?" But when everyone else does something, you tend to kind of agree, don't you? I think there is a form of Christianity today. There are people that are caught up in the moment rather than genuinely having a walk with God. So that one day the crowd says, "Hosanna," and they cry, "Hosanna." And then a few days later the crowd cries, "Crucify him," and they cry, "Crucify him." Just following the crowd. Folks, we're not following the crowd, amen? We're following the Lord. He deserved the same reception on that day when they crucified him. He should have received the same reception he received on Palm Sunday. There's a glimpse here. It's a reprieve, if you will. It's a little period of time before the suffering when we just get a glimpse of what things will be like in eternity. I can't help but show you a couple of more things in Psalm 118, just really quick if you could. If you go back up to verse 19, he says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go in to them and I will praise the Lord." This gate of the Lord into the which the righteous shall enter. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ entered the gates of Jerusalem, folks, he is righteousness. He is the righteous, and he did enter the gates of Jerusalem that day. Now, this next verse just jumps out at you. It says, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, verse 21, and art become my salvation. Aren't you glad God saved you? Did God save you? How do you know? If you had to prove it from the Bible, could you? You ought to be able to. If somebody came to me and said, Pastor Schaefer, do you own your house? Yes, I own my house. Well, the bank owns it, but that's another story. But I've got a deed. I've proof. I've got a document. Someone says, are you married? Yep, I got a document. Are you a citizen? Yep, I got a document. Someone says, Pastor Schaefer, do you have eternal life? Yep, I got a document. Amen? Do you know where to look in that document? I hope you do. The Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation if we are saved. If I was to ask you the test of eternity, when you step into the gates of heaven and they're going to see if you get to come in or not, the test of eternity, what is your salvation? The answer must be the Lord Jesus Christ. If your salvation is your church membership, your good works, your baptism, your tithe, whatever else you do, if your baptism is anything that you can do, Ephesians chapter 2 says salvation must glorify God, not man. You see, I can't save myself. I do not deserve it. Paul, the apostle, said he was the chiefest of sinners, but God saved him. Is the Lord Jesus Christ your salvation? Amen?
Amen.
So that's why they're talking in Psalm 118. They're saying that thou art become my salvation. Then verse 22, the stone which the builders refuse has become the headstone of the corner. Oh, that's an interesting verse. The Lord Jesus Christ quoted that verse to some folks. You see, Psalm 118 is all about Jesus and all about his worthiness. And so then they go on and they say in verse 25 in Psalm 118, save now, it's the Hebrew word Hosanna. I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And now go back to John 12, if you would, please. On Sunday, Palm Sunday, on that Palm Sunday, Jesus was popular. On that Palm Sunday, Jesus was praised. On that Palm Sunday, Jesus was called the King, and the people laid their clothing and the branches of palm trees in the way so that the animal carrying him would not step on the soil, but would step on something else instead. And they honored him, and they cried out and blessed him. But it didn't last very long, did it? It was a moment. It was an exciting moment. It was a moment to be caught up in. It was a moment which should have lasted for all eternity. If Israel would have accepted him as their king, everything would be different. But God, in his wisdom, read the book of Romans to learn more about this, God, in his wisdom, allowed a delusion to come upon Israel so that they could believe a lie, so that you and I could hear the gospel and be saved. And when you and I heard the gospel and got saved, it was because God said, I love the Gentiles, those folks that are not Israelites, enough that I'm going to set Israel off to the side for a while, and I am going to win the Gentiles to myself, and you and I are going to be a people amongst God's people for all eternity. That was God's plan. So God saw all this. It's a miraculous way that God did it, and God is wise. But I want to just look at John chapter 12 for a minute and see the things that happened. And there's a lot of Old Testament prophecy here. Verse 15 was the prophecy that Jesus would come in riding on an ass's colt. That's from Zechariah 9:9. And there's some things that happened here. And just ask the question, are we Palm Sunday Christians, or are we the kind of Christian we ought to be? Are we in the moment, and then tomorrow another moment comes along and we forget all about the Lord? Are we serving today? It's Sunday and other folks came to church, so we came as well, but then tomorrow we go back and live in the world and act like the world and talk like the world and all the rest. And almost as if Sunday never happened, because when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, you'd have a hard time believing that 4 or 5 days before they had received him as they had. When you got saved, were you caught up in the moment, or did you really get saved? Amen? The Bible says very clearly that with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. And then it goes on to say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, here's some good news for you. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you say, Pastor, I know a day. I might not know the calendar date, but I remember a time when I trusted Jesus. I prayed to him and asked him to save me, trusting in what he did on the cross and trusting him and his works, not my own. And I asked Jesus to save me. I want you to know something. If you did that, God keeps his promise. Right. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus said this. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. So even if your Christianity has grown stale, I hope it hasn't, even if there is some coldness in your heart that needs to be replaced with the warmth of God, I hope that hasn't happened, but it is a fact that sometimes people can get backslidden. But there's another kind of person, the one that never ever really received him. And I'm sad to report to you that the people in this passage mostly fall into that category. They got excited for a moment, but then they crucified him less than a week later. And when they were offered Barabbas, a wicked man, and they could choose between him and Jesus as to which one would be set free, they said, give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus. His blood be on our heads and upon our children. And it was. Oh, if I could just say it plainly, I'd just ask the question, are you really saved? Amen? So here in John chapter 12, if you're there, please, I want to begin looking at a couple of things in verse 12. Much people were come to the feast. Now you remember, this is not terribly important, but it does make a difference, that they had this feast a couple of times a year in Jerusalem, and all of Israel was supposed to come down to Jerusalem for this feast, even the ones that lived up north. And there were people that lived even in nations nearby that would travel to Jerusalem for this feast. And so Jerusalem was packed out. There were people from all over the nation and all the nations around that had come to this feast. It was a big day. And much people, it says in verse 12, were come to the feast. And they took branches in verse 13 of palm trees, and they went forth to meet him, and they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. Zechariah 9:9. But look at this. Verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. Now, verse 16 is an important verse because it sets apart a different group of people. There were the ones that got excited. There were the ones that cried, Hosanna. There were the ones, they knew the word of God. They knew Psalm 118. And they knew that their king was going to come. And caught up in the moment, they cried out. Then there were the disciples. Now, put yourself in that place on that day for a minute and think about this. Jesus is riding on this donkey, and the disciples, I'm sure, are walking along beside, and they're listening to these people, and they're looking at what they're doing, and they had to be asking themselves, is this real? Aren't these the same people that have given us so much trouble? The Pharisees, oh, they're not happy about this. I don't think they were the ones crying out, by the way. There are times when it's easy to be a Christian, aren't there? It's easy. Here you are, Sunday morning in church. Praise God, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm amongst God's people. I'm glad I'm in church. I'm glad God gave us the blessings of being able to be here and to sing hymns and to pray and to just set aside for a minute and stop and think of the goodness of God. That feels good. It's not always easy, though. It's easy to be a Christian sometimes when those around you are on board and everybody's excited about it. But then there are those times when you're not in the majority. Oh, for example, here, just a few days later, Peter is going to walk into a garden and a young girl is going to ask Peter, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" Wasn't quite so easy then, was it? Then the next day, in the afternoon, they're going to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible doesn't tell us the disciples. We know John was there because Jesus had pointed Mary and John to one another and said, "John, take care of Mary." But at the end of the day, when the tomb was sealed and when the soldiers had finished the task and when the crowds had left, it wasn't the disciples waiting, it was the women that stood by when everyone else had gone home. Just a couple of women stayed by. Pharisees thought, "We won, he's dead." The Romans, a little smarter, some of those soldiers said, "This was the Son of God." On that day, it wasn't quite so easy to be a Christian. What kind of Christian are we? Are we a Palm Sunday Christian? Or are we a disciple? You see, I like that word in verse 16. It says, "Then remembered they these things." After Jesus was glorified, and that means he was risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, he's coming back. And they were reading the Bible. They were reading the Old Testament, Zechariah. And they said, "Look at this. Zechariah chapter 9 says, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt.'" And we saw it. Isn't it fun when the Bible confirms things for you? Folks, when this Bible says it, that settles it. You may not believe it, but that's not God's problem. In fact, it even refers to that in Romans. It says, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." But this book's the truth. I don't understand all of it, but I believe everything I do understand, and I need to understand the rest. So there were these people that were fickle. They worshiped the Lord one day. They cried, "Crucified him," the next. There were some people here that were fake. I think there have to be occasions when we accept the fact that there are too many people standing up on TV and the radio. They're writing books and they're claiming to be men of God and women of God. And the truth is, they're just doing it for the money. They're just doing it for the fame. That was what the Pharisees were so unhappy about. Jesus was taking away their followers. We don't like him because they're going to follow him instead of following us. Folks, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Don't follow a man. If the man follows Christ and you follow the man, you're following Christ. But if the man goes one direction and Christ goes the other, you go with Christ. Amen? And I am what some folks call an under-shepherd. I'm just here to point you to the one who is the shepherd. Now, there were some fakes in that crowd. There were some folks in that crowd that were filthy. They ignored the way of salvation. They ignored the work of God. They were just wicked sinners that happened to be there on that day. You know, even a wicked sinner caught up in the moment can cry, "Hosanna." But is it real? Is your faith real? The Bible says in the book of James, faith without works is dead. You say, "Well, Pastor, we're saved by faith, not by works." I got that. But folks, what you believe will change what you do. We have students in our school, and we love our students, and we want every one of them to find Christ as Savior. But I know something from years and years of experience and years of reading the Word of God, and that is, when you get saved, something inside you changes. When you get saved, the Spirit of God comes into you and things are different. No, you do not become perfect, but it grieves you when you sin. And you want to be right with God. And you want to get back to Him. And you want to hear from Him. And you want to pray to Him. You want Him to be a part of your life. That's what salvation is. Salvation is not Hosanna when the crowd cries out and then the next day crucified Him. That's not salvation. And we see students, we see other folks, and they say Hosanna, save now. That's what it means. But they don't trust Christ as their Savior. And you can tell by what's in their heart. You see, if you'd looked at Israel, just take Israel as a group snapshot here. On Palm Sunday, they look saved, don't they? They're crying out, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Save now. And putting the palm leaves down and the clothing and stuff. And they're serving him and they're crying out. If you took that snapshot, they look like God's people. But keep the camera running, because a few days later, they're going to cry, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar, they said. Are you a Palm Sunday Christian? Or are you the real kind? Amen? Are you a disciple? Do you remember? Does the Word of God speak to you? The Bible says in verse 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people, verse 18, also met him, for that they had heard he had done this miracle. Oh, now we're starting to get somewhere. You see, one of the reasons that they're there is because they're fascinated. I heard he raised a fellow from the dead. I wonder what he could do for me. Now, this is difficult, but please hear me when I say this. I expect many of us are trusting God for everything we have, for our blessings, our health, our provision. That's fine. But folks, life is not about us. It's about Him. Amen? We do not come to Him just so what we can get. That's what Judas Iscariot did. What can I get for Jesus? Let's see. 30 pieces of silver. Sounds good to me. I'll trade. But folks, we did not come to Him just for what we can get. We came to Him because of who He is. Amen. What did the devil accuse Job of? When in the Old Testament, if you know the story, and if you don't, read it when you get home, but the devil, and just the first couple of chapters will set the record straight for you. The devil came to God and said, you know, this fellow Job, he doesn't really love you. He just loves you because of all the things you gave him. Because he's wealthy and he's healthy and he's got family and he's well known, he's liked, he's prominent in his community. That's why he loves you, because of what you gave him. And the Lord allowed Satan to take everything that Job had. And did Job love God? Yeah. You see, it wasn't about what Job got, it was about who God is. That's the question. A Palm Sunday kind of Christian looks like the real thing, talks like the real thing, acts like the real thing. But it's just, if I can say it this way, just skin deep. The truth of the matter is, there's nothing on the inside. And that's interesting, because the Bible says in Romans, if the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, you're none of His. You know what I'd like to see all of us be? Is not just a Palm Sunday Christian, a Resurrection Sunday Christian. Amen? Because a week later, we'll look at this next Sunday. On Resurrection Sunday, when He rose from the dead, well, we'll get into that a little bit. There were some of them that were skeptical. Thomas, I won't believe until I can put my finger in the wound. And there's some of them that just didn't know what to think. But once they saw Him, Once he met with them after he rose from the dead, they became what the Bible calls witnesses. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth." Listen to me, I'm almost done. Here's the thing. The Palm Sunday Christian looks good, talks good, acts good. But it's not in here. It's not in the heart. The true Christian has met the Lord. He knows the Lord. If you would come to Peter or James or John after he rose from the dead and appeared to them, and you were to say, "Well, what do you know about Jesus?" They say, "What do you want to know? I know he's alive. I've seen him." And then after Pentecost, "I know he's alive. He lives in my heart. I know him. I can tell you whatever you'd like to know about him because he's my Savior. We know each other real well." That's the kind of Christian you ought to be. Amen? Do you know him? Is he in fellowship with you? Do you talk with him? Does he talk to you? Or have you just seen him from a distance, like the folks on Palm Sunday? There he goes. This is an exciting day. And then later crucify him. Oh, folks, the question is, who is Jesus to you? Amen? Who is Jesus to you? And if you don't have a personal relationship with him, if you don't know him, he'd like to know you. He'd like for you to know him. You don't need to turn there, but I'm going to finish with this thought. There was a place in the book of Luke where Jesus was talking about what's going to happen on Judgment Day. We sang about Judgment Day just now. And there were some people on Judgment Day that thought everything was okay. But it wasn't. And when they found out that they were about to be cast into hell, they said, "Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We did many wonderful works." Just like those folks on Palm Sunday. And what did Jesus say to those folks? He said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Do you know him? Does he know you? If that concerns you, you need to get it straight. You need to take care of it today. Don't just be that Palm Sunday, looks good, sounds good kind of Christian. When it's easy, be that disciple. Be that one that goes to the tomb. Be that one that shows up the Sunday morning to prepare the body, not knowing what to expect, and finds out he's not here, he's risen. Be that one that has met him, and you know him, and he knows you, and he's your Savior. Amen?
Amen.
That's the kind of Christian to be. How real is God to you? It's not just seeing him from a distance coming into the city while people cry out. That's not enough. He needs to live in your heart. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.